Welcome. I wanted to let the music end. I don't know. We're having a little bit of weirdness here at National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNRepublicBroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech, so go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. That's how you do it. Go to nationalbugle.com. You'll see interesting news items and commentary. You'll also see the link for the CoCertified app. So you want to click on that CoCertified app, download it, and get yourself started on a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Let me see if... Well, okay, I was going to stick my headphones on, but we'll just see how it goes. Okay, I was listening, not live, but on archive, which you can do. I was listening to Jeremy from Kentucky's show from last night in plain sight, and it was very, very interesting. There's a lot of things I want to talk about from it. And this is a live show, by the way. And you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. If you absolutely need to use the toll-free number, that's 844-769-2944. So you can call in, but there's a few things I want to touch on first. So one, let's see, where do we go first? Okay, Dan from Washington, he called in and he had some comments about flat earth, and I think he was confusing flat earth thinking with geocentric solar system models, right? And I think so. I think he needs to go back and check that. There was a Greek philosopher who had suggested a model of the universe with the sun at the center and the Earth going around it. The widely accepted models of the universe from, you know, before Plato, before Aristotle, all the way up until, you know, Galileo and whatnot, which were accepted in Europe, whether the Greeks, the Romans, medieval period, it all had, on the one hand, the Earth at the center and the sun, the moon, the planets going around the Earth, various ways, but they all had the Earth being round. So the idea that, you know, we used to kind of hear in our pop culture that Columbus, you know, and when Columbus set sail, his crew thought that they were going to fall, or the world thought that they were just going to fall off the edge of the world. It was well established hundreds of years before BC, that the Earth was a sphere, that the shape of the Earth was a sphere. This was proven by the shape of the Earth's shadow on the moon during lunar eclipses always being round. And the only three-dimensional object that always casts a circle as its shadow is a sphere. Nothing else will do that. A disk will not always, you know, if you're, if you just think of a hockey puck or a disc, a CD or a DVD, and if you're shining the light straight down on it, it casts a circular shadow. If you're shining the light straight across it, it would just be a linear shadow, and if it's coming at an angle, you'd get an elliptical shadow. So they knew that. Nobody thought that the Earth was flat during those many centuries, you know, 18 centuries, whatever it would be. But the idea that the sun was at the center of the universe, or at least the solar system, it had been proposed, but if that was the case, then the constellations, if they're made up of stars scattered through the universe, they should change shape as we go around the sun, because we're looking from a different perspective, and so that's called parallax. And no parallax was observed, and it was assumed that if no parallax was observed, either that meant the earth was stationary, or it just meant the stars were super, super far away, and nothing would be that far away. Well, as it turns out, actually the stars are just that far away. And parallax was eventually, when the instrumentation got sophisticated enough, it was eventually observed. At any rate, that was one thing I wanted to mention. There was a call from Vinny from Indiana, which I thought was a very, very excellent call. And he was talking about the Illuminati being I think the term he used was a distraction, the talk of the Illuminati. He brought up a Henry Macau. And Henry Macau used to have his work featured on Rents.com. And I can remember 10 years ago when I'd frequent Rents.com, seeing Henry Macau's name up there. I think did he have a website called Save the Males or something like that? He's Canadian and he is Jewish or half Jewish or whatever. He's got a PhD in English literature or something like that. And what Vinny was, and I either agree with or I'm agnostic on everything Vinny was saying. I thought there's nothing I would disagree with him. I thought the fundamental points of go back and listen. I mean, I would go back and listen to that phone call if you haven't heard it. It would be if you start listening at the bottom of the hour after the second break. I'm pretty sure that's when Vinny came on. That was a very good phone call, pointing out that people who talk about Illuminati or similar types of so-called conspiracy theories, where you have some secret group that's running everything, that they're somehow able to enforce their will on everybody. That these people who make this claim, they don't get kicked off the internet. People who make claims about Jewish power do get kicked off the internet, which should tell you something. But anyway, I thought it was an excellent call. Henry Macau, who talks about Illuminati, whether he's purposely distracting or whether he really believes it, that's what I'm agnostic on, because I don't know what he really believes. And I'm starting to come to the opinion that a lot of people, whether they're conspiracy theory people or whether they are people who are running governments, understand things a lot less than one might think. I'm starting to come to – that's starting to be my working theory, is that a lot of people that we assume, because they're in the middle of everything, they're in the middle of the power system, that they must understand everything. And I think in a lot of cases they might not – see the forest for the trees. That's something we can talk about. I thought that was an interesting call. One other thing I want to get to, and this is a philosophical thing, philosophical / religious, and I guess it follows well on that whole geocentric thing where the, you know, the Greeks or anybody who's trying to figure out the universe, you are there in your little neck of the woods, and you're trying to figure out the universe, or you're there in your little period of time and you're trying to figure out all of history and potentially the future as well. And when you think about it, like, is that a very human thing to do? It's almost preposterous that we in our little tiny little areas of time and space we occupy try to make such grandiose statements about the history of the universe. But that's what we do. And, you know, we look at little bits of evidence here and there, the shape of the Earth's shadow on the moon or whatnot. And, you know, we make proclamations about it. But here's the thing. There was a Monty Python skit, and I think I don't, they weren't trying to do anything with this, but I looked at it and it really inspired me. Monty Python skit, John Cleese and I believe Eric Idle, and they're sitting in an office, desks that are, you know, facing each other, adjoined to each other. So they're facing each other, got a desk in the middle, and they're doing their office work, and there's a window in the background. And they're just maybe having regular small talk. And then all of a sudden, a body falls past the window. And initially, they look up, they're shocked. Maybe it was Eric Idle first, and says, "Did you see that?" "No, what?" "No, it's a body. It fell past the window." "Hmm, so it did." Well, then another body falls past, and they both notice it. And I, you know, maybe Eric Idle says, that was Jones from accounting." "No, it wasn't. No, it was definitely Smith from, you know, from human resources." Well, they probably didn't have human resources back then. They start arguing about who it was. And then another body falls down. "Oh, no, that was Jones from accounting. Okay, all right." And then, you know, a couple more bodies fall down. And then they start betting on who's going to be the next body. You know, the idea is that they're committing suicide. They're jumping out of the window. Who's going to be next? And, you know, they make their wager. And then they start shouting out the window, "Come on, Johnson. Come on, Johnson. You know you want to do it. You know." Well, okay. Why is this a deep philosophical question or enlightening? Why is this so enlightening for me? Here's the thing. They're sitting in their little office, and all they have is this view of what's right outside their office. Now, if you're a physicist, you could, or just good at math and, you know, good at calculus, you could measure the amount of time it took for that body to fall past the window. And obviously something that's been falling a long time, you know, when things fall, they get more and more speed, right? And what is it, 9.8 meters per second squared. That's the force of gravity, or 32 feet per second squared. And so if you measure how much time it is that they're passing through the window, going past your window, you're able to measure their speed. And then from the speed, well, how would they get to that speed? How much time or how much distance does it take for them to get to their speed? Well, with some pretty basic calculus, and using the, you know, 9.8 meters per second squared, you can find out where their starting point was, right? On the assumption that they, you know, just jumped out their window. And you would know which floor they jumped from. So let's just say you're in a 40-story building and you're sitting there. You should be able to, based on having measured how fast they were going past your window, you could guess which floor they jumped out of, okay? And then you'd know if Jones from accounting or Smith from human resources. You would know based on the assumption that they jumped out. Well, here's the thing. Let's just say that it wasn't Jones from accounting 10 stories up, but maybe somebody only 5 stories up, but 5 stories up. Hold on one second. 5 stories up, you've got some sort of machine that instead of just dropping the bodies, it actually flings them down with initial speed, so that. Or maybe they're just one story above you, but you got this machine. It's just flinging these bodies straight down past your window at whatever speed that machine is set for. And that would trick you into thinking that this body came from 10 stories up or 15 stories up or 5 stories up. And you wouldn't know the difference. There would be no way from your perspective to know the difference. Are you following me? Where am I going with this? All right, this is where I'm going. So Jeremy had, he played a clip of somebody who was basically talking about evolution and this and that. there's a lot of things that just like, you know, the Greeks with figuring out that the Earth was spherical shaped, there's a lot of things that we have figured out based on assumptions, and they seem to be working pretty well. And what would be good examples? I don't know, but let's just go straight to the evolution, because that's what the issue was. If you look at everything that we found with DNA more recently, or with paleontologist findings, you know, bones and various bones and strata, other things, there's very, you know, carbon dating is only for relatively recent things, for like the past 100,000 or past 50,000 years, but there's other dating systems that use radioactive decay to measure rocks, and there's all sorts of things that are used. And based on all of that, it seems as if you would have this evolution, and I'm very interested in it. But just like that machine being a story or two above, floor or two above you, your window, if you were to posit that you have an all-powerful creator, well, then an all-powerful creator could have created things in such a way, for that creator's own reasons, to make it seem as if you had evolution. And what reasons? Well, I'm not the one to tell. If there was a all-powerful creator, that creator doesn't need my advice. And that creator wasn't taking my advice, and so whatever reason that creator would have to do such a thing. And the one other point Jeremy made was, you know, at some point, you're left with saying, well, we don't know. And of course we are. If you're talking about, for instance, the Big Bang, it seems as if the matter of the universe came from some Big Bang. But even all the theoretical calculations, the physical laws and the events of the first moments are not clear. And okay, I guess that's what I wanted to get into for this first segment. I'll be back after the break taking your calls.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 We'll give you a Commander Lifetime membership at FrontSight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so this is, I'm done talking about Jeremy's show from last night, which was an excellent show, very thought-provoking. I recommend listening to it on archive. Now we're going to callers of our own. Charles from Florida, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Patrick, or Dr. Slattery?
Patrick's good.
Yeah, you remind me of... what is it, John Cleese and this thing, the movies, or watching the movies, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, or mm-hmm. Monty Python or Brian, Life of Brian, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially, I don't know if you remember the one where John Cleese is, I guess, a Pharisee in the time of Christ, and he's yelling, Jehovah, Jehovah, and suddenly the mob turns against him. They start raining stones on him instead of him raining, getting them to rain stones on the blasphemers, you know, mm-hmm. pronouncing. That was sort of comical, I guess, blasphemous kind of. But you know, remember the one that where they're in the they're hunting for the Holy Grail, Monty Python. They're riding around on their stick horses. I guess they're too cheap to have real horses, and they go to the castle, and we're not ruled by that queen. We're ruled by a anarcho-syndicalist commune. You know.
Yeah, and I think
as if people back in the time of King Arthur would know anything about what an anarcho-syndicalist commune is. You know.
Well, yeah, and I think the reason they were going around on stick horses was because it was filmed on a low budget and they didn't have the money to afford a real horse. And it would just be funny to have them each have a retainer behind them with coconuts, making the horse hoof sounds with coconuts.
Right, in the end of the Monty Python and the Holy Grail, they're arrested by the police as being in the pornography or something, and they have a bunch of French people following around and mocking them, and, you know, couldn't understand it.
Monty Python, and some of it was probably subversive, and who knows? John Cleese has made a lot of good points over the years, but maybe he's not always on point. But they weren't, I don't think they were trying to do anything other than being silly with that skit that I was talking about, but I used it as that example. So you really don't know whether a person jumped from the, from 10 stories up or was flung down by a specially designed machine only one floor above you.
Sounds like a problem in physics. You wouldn't need calculus or, you know, how far a body would fall from the top of a building physics, not necessarily needing calculus, I had in my textbook, I had a course.
The calculus is very simple, and you don't have to understand it in order to do it.
Well, I think somebody like a regular in a building, like John Cleese or his assistant, playing, they may know enough of where departments are in a building that, and then it's like 1929. There are a number of people to keep jumping out of buildings because of the depression starting, the fall and the, something like that, And well, I guess they're comparing it to 1929, like 2008 or something, that people are jumping out of buildings and near Wall Street because they've lost all their fortune and poor investments in Wall Street.
And like I say,
derivatives or something.
I don't know what they were trying to do with that skit. It was kind of funny, but the point I was trying to make is if you posit an all-powerful creator, then that creator could create things any way. They could create things in such a way as you would find lots and lots of evidence for evolution, for instance, without it actually having ever occurred.
The methods of Zadig, according to Thomas Henry Huxley, and his a scientist is following the fable of Voltaire, of Zadig, who uses deductive reasoning like Sherlock Holmes or like many famous people. Zadig is a story and Voltaire, a tale told, and he's an advisor in Baghdad of a caliph, and he uses deductive reasoning, and that's what science is, the methods of Zadig.
And science requires falsifiability. You cannot falsify. If you have an all-powerful creator, that's unfalsifiable, which means it's not scientific, but it does not mean it's not true. Okay? If you can have an all-powerful creator, that's unfalsifiable, but it could be true. And so my point is kind of religion and science are different categories. They're different categories of inquiring into the nature of the universe and life, and one doesn't have to be incompatible with the other. But I think we're on the break.
Real talk.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Which has great music. And by the way, I think I'm hearing a little bit of maybe another Skype call bleeding through, so I'm just letting that be known. All right, so that was Charles from Florida. Next we have John from New York. John from New York, welcome to the show. Maybe we're having a little bit of an issue in the control room. No, John from New York. Okay, that was Radio Pyongyang. And when I was over in that neck of the woods a long time ago, I recorded as much Radio Pyongyang as I could because it's good music. And I didn't think I'd be using it as bumper music for a radio program, but there you go. All right. John from New York, one more time. Nope. Okay. All right. Well, I am back to filibustering then. So the idea I was trying to get across was that I think science and religion are not incompatible, that they're different ways of inquiring into the nature of life and the universe and our situation here. We're here. We have no beer. I'm used to it. And so that's the thing. All right, let's move on. So I just to reiterate, I think people should be able to compartmentalize, understand I think the all-powerful creator is not falsifiable, so it's not science. You can't prove it. You cannot disprove it. That's my position. I'm sticking to it. Dave from New York. Let's try one more time. Are you there, Dave?
Hello?
Good.
Hey, Patrick.
Here we go. Yeah, how
Josh
are you doing,
from New
Dave?
York. Josh.
Oh, it's okay, Josh. All right, okay. Well, I'll take it, Josh from New York. That's not so shabby. How are you doing, Josh?
Doing well. Happy White History Month.
Is it White History Month? All right. I guess is that to celebrate David Duke's birthday?
Well, happy birthday. But no, it was Jesse Lee Peterson. He coined the July White History Month.
Well, good for Jesse Lee. You know, Jesse Lee Peterson, he proclaimed me to be an alpha male, and I'll take that.
Totally true.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, he's got quite a good deal of perception. So what's on your mind, Josh?
I was listening to your show when you covered Tucker's monologue on the FBI, which was totally awesome, and I'm kind of back on the Tucker train. But you didn't cover the guest he had. I wonder what you thought about him.
Please remind me.
That was Darren Beatty from Revolver.
Okay, and you've mentioned him before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't mention him. So why? And he's the person who. Well, okay, well, tell us, why should we be mentioning him?
Well, he's he was a professor at Duke University. He is Jewish, and he is the basically head of Revolver News, and mm-hmm. he broke the story, and he's making his rounds. He was on. It's actually interesting. He was on a lot of mainstream shows. He broke it obviously on Tucker, and then he was on.
Okay, and so this is the news about the FBI being behind the basically putting up these groups to do the shenanigans on January 6th, right? That's the story we're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a great story because it's now become it's become a mainstream talking point, like a talking point amongst mainstream conservatives to criticize our intelligence agencies, which honestly, even 5-6 years ago was considered ridiculous, and you were considered a tinfoil hat guy, and now he's making his rounds. He was on Bannon's War Room. He was on. Uh-huh. He was on Dinesh D'Souza's podcast, which is okay. Crazy. So you have like Dinesh D'Souza is criticizing the FBI for basically fabricating crises as a pretense to tighten their grips and consolidate power, which is amazing. And I also hold very high. I hold very highly of Darren Beatty. I think his political commentary is very good, and his journalism as well.
Okay, and so I was not aware that he was a former professor at Duke. What did he teach?
I think he taught. I'm not sure. I know he's a mathematician.
Okay.
He was the first non-tenured professor to endorse Trump. He got a job as a speech writer.
So he was non-tenure. Was he like a adjunct professor or something?
I don't know. He's very young. I mean, he's still young. He's in his 30s, so I guess that's why. But and then he got kicked out of the Trump administration because he was at a conference with a white nationalist who happened to have been on the panel or something. And this guy's awesome. I mean, he wrote a piece defending Nick Fuentes. From the no-fly list, and he speaks very highly of Nick Fuentes as well, and he retweets him, he responds to him on Twitter. This guy's based. I mean, I really like him. But
okay, so you've got him, and I'm not surprised, but I don't necessarily remember that I knew he was Jewish, because he's not that much on my radar screen. I do look at Revolver News from time to time. Then also you've got, frequently the past few weeks, you've had Glenn Greenwald, who's also Jewish, who's been talking about this issue a great deal on Tucker's show. Can we expect or should we expect pushback from certain Jewish individuals who – and is this – do they think – I mean, are they operating as Jews who are thinking that, wow, things are going way too far, too fast, and this is going to be bad for the Jews when it becomes too obvious that there's a major Jewish role in the Trump stuff, all sorts of stuff, the Black Lives Matter stuff, or are these just individuals acting as individuals?
I think individuals acting as individuals.
Which is possible.
Yeah, because, I don't know, it's just, this is how, if you look at Glenn Greenwald, I mean, this is, it's very in line with his political ideology to be criticizing the intelligence agencies.
So for Greg,
I would more likely think that if it's Jews operating as Jews, I would look at like Noam Chomsky, who's Amy Goodman, who now they're not affiliated with Glenn Greenwald anymore, and they're actually there's a lot of infighting in the left right now. Did you hear?
That's interesting.
There's a tremendous infighting.
Okay, so. I haven't been following Amy Goodman for years because it got to the point where it was just too annoying. And she's a Chomskyite. There's this Chomskyite left. Well, here's a question for you, because Aaron Maté came out of that, right? He was basically a Chomskyite. He was a co-broadcaster on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, but is he still affiliated with them? Because he seems recently to be more in the style of a Glenn Greenwald.
I can't. You didn't hear this huge infighting going on in the left, which is there are a lot of Jews in there. Like the progressive left is very Jewish dominated. So basically, you have Max Blumenthal, Aaron Maté, Glenn Greenwald, and Jimmy Dore.
And Jimmy Dore is not Jewish, but the other three are.
He's not Jewish. He's not Jewish. Yeah, they are in. There's some serious fighting between them, and then you have Chomsky, you have Amy Goodman, you have the Young Turks.
Yeah.
There's been tremendous infighting, going on there. Like they. It was interesting because, like, I was watching an episode of The Gray Zone, and they were talking about Chomsky, and they're like, what's going on with him? Like, how come he's supporting? How could somebody who we've admired our whole lives be supporting the overthrow of Assad in Syria? So I think that really just shows the dichotomy. I think people like Maté and Greenwald and even Blumenthal grew up in the era of Noam Chomsky, and they admired him, and I think they're sincere, and that's why you see this sort of realignment where they're willing to, you know, go on Tucker and things like that.
Yeah,
but Amy Goodman and Shane Uger, like they're really criticizing them.
And Uger
is a huge back and forth,
or we can call him Chink Wigger. He's he's Turkish. He's not Jewish. The Young Turk guy. But my thing has always been, I couch like basically everything I say in terms of tendencies, right? Like as a statistician, there's a probability curve. And I just say that Jews are more likely to think about Jewish, their group interests than other groups. It's just more likely. It doesn't mean they all do, but they're more likely. And I stick by that. But so that still leaves room to ask, okay, because I would, if I were Jewish and I was concerned about Jewish interests, I would be very alarmed at what's going on right now, because I think what I call the double or nothing people, the people who are in just such a hurry to get their program accomplished, that they're really rocking the boat and taking great risks. That's what I think. But listen, I've got a full board of callers. Could you do me a favor? Could you give some contact information, email address or whatever, to the the engineer, and I'll contact you because I'd like to record a show on a lot of these issues.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I could get it from Jeremy too. I've just been busy lately.
Yeah, Jeremy has it.
Okay, I'll do it that way then. And I've just been busy, but I've been meaning to do that.
Okay, I look forward to that. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Okay, thanks. Okay, now we'll try again. Dave in New York. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, yes, got through this time, I think.
Good.
Yes, yes, Patrick. Wanted to clarify some information I sent you and something Mark Collett was saying a week ago Monday on the 21st.
Okay.
He mentioned that that the governments have told us that there have been zero cases of flu in 2020. And, you know, I don't know if he's talking about the U.K. or worldwide or what.
Well, I think he was specifically talking about the U.K. in that statement.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't clear, but for us over, and I know he was trying to convince people of, you know, people of what's going on, and he didn't want to say there wasn't a flu and all that, and that was all very admirable. But what we saw here was a very big decrease in the number of flu cases in the 2019-2020 season. There were like 9,400 CDC death certificate reported ones. Very difficult information to get. You got to go on CDC and look week by week and add it all up. But as in the 2020 through 2021 season as of March 6th, so that would be from like September 20th of 2020 through March 6th, there were only 486 flu deaths. But Dr. Michael Yeadon suggested that COVID may have killed all the dry tinder. So there's a certain element of dry tinder effect, seeing that, you know, tottering people were the only ones affected by the flu. And COVID was apparently, I would say, more severe. I think many of those folks said it's more severe than the flu.
Well, it depends. It depends what category you're in. So if you're are very elderly or you have certain conditions, then it may well be more.
When it nails you,
but
when
for younger people, it's less. I mean, for these college kids who are being forced to take vaccines.
Right.
It's less dangerous than the flu, far less dangerous, and certainly less dangerous than the vaccines.
Yeah, well, the point I'm trying to make here is that we shouldn't, number one, we shouldn't jump to the conclusion that they're necessarily miscategorizing data without having the expertise and having examined all the other comorbidities. And number two, they haven't actually fallen to zero, but they've fallen incredibly. And, you know, I don't even know if the dry tinder effect could have caused that, but I don't know that it didn't. So, you know, I keep the jury out on that.
Okay, you can keep the jury out, and, you know, regarding miscategorization, whether, you know, if you want to say miscategorization, here's one thing. When we're comparing COVID deaths, no matter, you know, what you want to ascribe to people's motives, when you're comparing the COVID deaths in the past year or so to flu in previous years, it is very much apples to oranges, because now you've got massive testing. And of course, the testing is very likely not very accurate, but you've got massive testing. Whereas in the past, you know, I know people who had cancer, were in the hospital and died not from, you know, lung failure from the lung cancer, but from something in the brain, some sort of infection. But what would be the incentive of the doctor or the hospital to test for what infection might have killed this person? Because then they open themselves up to a lawsuit. People weren't being tested. I've had the flu 5 or 10 times in my life. I was never ever tested. My mom would say, "Oh, you've got the flu," and nobody was being tested. Nobody was having things stuck up their nose to test for the flu.
Right.
So it's completely apples to oranges. There's no way you can really compare this. But what you do know is the incentive structure for COVID is the exact opposite of what it was for the flu, because
I would say Dr. Birx
incentivized in order to put, you got the massive testing of everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And then you've got the incentives where hospitals often who had struggling finances because other patients are afraid to go, you know, for their
huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And welcome back to the show. Again, those are the hauntingly beautiful sounds of Radio Pyongyang. Good stuff. Okay, I don't think we still have Dave, right? We're done?
Oh, I'm still here. I just wanted to say Dr. Burke said there was 25% inflation of the death numbers. So I think that's something we could definitely quote. She admitted it, and she said they're dying with COVID, not from COVID. I mean, these are very strong points to mention, I think.
Okay.
If you can forward that to Mark, that'd be great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, next we go to James from Vancouver. James, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Your analysis of the people falling by the window in the Monty Python skit neglects terminal velocity.
Right, it does neglect later. Terminal velocity. You're correct.
Yep, right, but that's okay. Interestingly enough, John Cleese and I had the same law professor at Cambridge.
Right.
But I think what we're looking at here, and it's interesting you mentioned Monty Python, because Monty Python is all about celebrating British blood sport and madness, British madness, you see. And I wouldn't be surprised if...
British blood sport?
Oh, yeah. British blood sport? You've never heard of that?
Are you talking about like fox hunting or what?
Well, yeah, horse races, and the dirtier the better, right? And wow, Chris Splash, and wasn't that something, you see? I've hung out with the British for a while. I know what they think like, see? But think of it this way. All of this vaccine shot madness is exactly what a Monty Python skit would be. Well, let's convince them that there is a virus. Yeah, but there is no virus. Never mind. We'll just convince them there's a virus, right? Okay. And we have a vaccine, but they'll have to wait and lock them down in the meantime. Right. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing. It's all bloody madness, you see?
Well, I guess. I mean, yeah.
The, look, know, I'm the king.
Whether or not there's a virus isn't even the main thing anymore. Look what they did.
Well, right.
Look what they did. They got us to accept all of these things, all of these massive intrusions into our body, into our life.
Right.
And, you know, whether or not there's a vaccine, how well is it even established? I mean, whether or not there's a virus, how well is it even established? What proof did we really get that this is a danger?
Right. And they're saying, who bloody cares? As long as they take that bloody vaccine and bloody die, then everything will be bloody well. You see what I'm saying? These are the top echelon people, right? They don't care about, you know, it's upper class twit of the year, remember? And that's what
upper class twit of the year. One of the guys is a part time lamp stand or something, right?
Yeah. Now, can I make one more comment about Galileo?
I think that time you got about a minute.
Okay, good enough. If you look at the History of Western Philosophy by Bertrand Russell, he writes in there that Galileo was hired by the warlords of Italy to figure out which cannonballs could go farther. That's what it was all about. It wasn't out to disprove Aristotle. They didn't give a damn about Aristotle. They wanted those cannonballs to go farther and hit harder. You see what I mean?
Well, be
that
accurate.
Was his job.
Yeah. Well, be
that
accurate.
That was his job.
Yep. And you can do that with the calculus.
Yes. Yeah, and it's all about war, you see? And we're in a war right now, you see? And this is just another progression, you see?
All right, well, thank you for your call, James. Yep. I've got to sign off now.
Right.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.